Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Gopi Jana Bala Bhagini Badadhari. Jaya Gopi Jana Bala Bhagini Badadhari. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana. Jamuna Tira Banachari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. Jai Om Vishnupad, Paramahansa, Padi Vajakacharya, Asatara Satashi, Shimani's Divine Grace, Shilaisi Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Ananta Koti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya, Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Sri Kaho, Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Sri Advaita, Sri Gadadhar, Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Sri Sri Radha Shama Sundar, Gopa Gopinath, Shamakund, Radhakund, Giri Govardhan Ki Jai, Sri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai, Mathura Dham Ki Jai, Navadweep Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Puri Dham Ki Jai, Jagannath Swami Ki Jai, Jamuna Mai Ki Jai, Ganga Mai Ki Jai, Bhakti Devi Ki Jai, Sri Mati Tulsi Maharani Ki Jai, Samaveda Bhaktivinoda Ki Jai, Gopremanandi. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. I just wanted to thank Nico so much because he played mandanga so nicely. When you have a good mandanga player, even you can't sing very well, and the kirtan comes out great. So thank you. Hare Krishna. Keep on playing, okay? Okay, good. I can tell you're into it. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So I decided to talk tonight about karma. Something, you know, it's a broad subject that we think we understand, but there's a lot of details there. So we're going to give a general description of karma and karmic activities and what it means and this and that, with the purpose of how to get out of the entanglement of karma. Okay. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Narayanam Namaskritam Namam Chaiva Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayam Udirayat Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishtaki. Hare Krishna. So we're going to read one verse from Bhagavad Gita and then speak about that in a general way, and then also in the end quote a little verse from Padma Purana that Srila Prabhupada quotes often. Okay, so our verse from Bhagavad Gita is in chapter 4. It's chapter verse number 17. And we're just going to chant it one time. So if we can do it in call and response in that way, that's okay. Karma no hyapi bodhavyam. Bodhavyam cha vikarmanaha. Akarmanascha bodhavyam. Gahana karmano gatahi. So Srila Prabhupada wrote the word for word, so that I'll just read that through. Karmana, of work, he, certainly, api, also, bodhavyam, should be understood, bodhavyam, should be understood, cha, also, vikarmana, of forbidden work, that's going to be one of the topics, vikarmana, of forbidden work, akarmana, of inaction, that's another subject. Cha, also, bodhavyan, should be understood. Gahana, very difficult. Karmana, of work. Gati, entrance. So Srila Prabhupada's translation and purport to this verse, after I offer my prayers to Srila Prabhupada, out of respect and reverence and pleading for his mercy. Om Agyana Timirandasya Jananjana Salakaya Chaksu Umilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. I was certainly, definitely, undeniably born in the darkness of ignorance and was very happy in my ignorance for a really long time until fortunately I came in contact with Srila Prabhupada and he forced open my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. So I'm totally indebted to Srila Prabhupada and I beg for service at his lotus feet, life after life after life after life. Hare Krishna. So the translation to this verse is, the intricacies of action are very hard to understand. Therefore, one should know properly what action is, what forbidden action is, and what inaction is. So, before I go to the purport, just in general, when we speak of karma, and we could say when the majority of the people speak of karma, they're mostly thinking of reaction, right? The reaction, and they kind of maybe unconsciously think of Newton's law of action and reaction. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. But the word karma has various meanings depending on how it's used. You know, karma does mean action, but it also means reaction. But it doesn't always just mean those two. It has these little intricacies, and that's what we're going to explore a little bit tonight. And also, anyway, here's Prabhupada's purport. If one is serious about liberation from material bondage, one has to understand the distinctions between action, inaction, and unauthorized action. So action, in this sense of the word, means karma. Inaction, Action, inaction is akarma, no reaction. And unauthorized action is the karma. We'll talk about that some more, okay? One has to apply oneself to such an analysis of action, reaction, and perverted actions because it is a very difficult subject matter. To understand Krishna consciousness and actions according to its modes, one has to learn one's relationship with the Supreme. For example, one who has learned perfectly knows that every living entity is an eternal servitor of the Lord, and that consequently one has to act in Krishna consciousness. That's the essence of this purport and the essence of understanding karma properly. To understand that we're a spirit soul, ultimately, originally, and eternally a spirit soul, and we have a relationship with Krishna, and not only am I a spirit soul, thank God. So is every single other person that we interact with, every single other living entity, not just limited to human beings, not that there's just human beings or spirit souls, and only human beings have a relationship with Krishna, but every living entity, trees, plants, animals, this, that, so many things. And when one understands that, or at least gets the beginning of an understanding of that, then your life changes. And your activities change, and your perspective on things change. Okay, going back to the purport. Okay. The entire Bhagavad Gita is directed towards this conclusion. So what was the conclusion? That we're servant of Krishna and everyone else is a servant of Krishna and we have to act in that way. So all of Bhagavad Gita is directed to that conclusion. Any other conclusions against this consciousness and its attendant actions are the karmas, or prohibited actions. To understand all this, one has to associate with authorities in Krishna consciousness and learn the secret from them. This is as good as learning from the Lord directly. Otherwise, even the most intelligent persons will be bewildered. So that's what Srila Prabhupada has to say about this verse. And I'm just going to read the translation to the next couple of verses, and we'll just see how it gets more and more apparently complicated, but hopefully we'll straighten it out. So the next one is a tongue twister, even in English. One who sees inaction in action and action in inaction is intelligent among men, and he is in a transcendental position, although engaged in all sorts of activities. One is understood to be in full knowledge whose every endeavor is devoid. Here's another important point. Whose every endeavor is devoid of the desire for sense gratification. He is said by sages to be a worker for whom the reactions of work have been burned up by the fire of perfect knowledge. So that essential point in this verse is that every endeavor should be devoid of a desire for sense gratification. Anybody here thinks that that's an easy thing to achieve really quickly? Because if you think about it, everything that we're doing is motivated by a desire, or often practically everything we do is motivated by desire for, you know, a reaction, a pleasant, we want to be warm enough, we want to be fed enough, we want to be this enough, we want to have enough money, we want this, we want that. But oftentimes we bring that mentality of what I want into our religious understanding of serving God. And we're praying to the Lord for a nice house, a nice relationship, enough money, good health, and this and that. And all of that is in one sense, very good, that we're at least praying to the Lord for that. But it's for me. It's not for the Lord's pleasure. So let's talk about now we're going a little bit more into this division between karma. In this sense, this means work here. We're talking about karma as in work. Vikarma, forbidden action, or work against the injunctions of the scriptures, or activities that are against or contrary to religious principles. That's vikarma. And akarma, which is the activities that are done for the pleasure of the Lord. Activities done with the motivation to please the Lord don't have a reaction. That's why they come under the title of akarma, no reaction. In fact, they don't have any reaction. And in fact, I was going to say, the reaction that they have, which is totally contradictory to that they don't have any reaction, means that it's liberating one from the cycle of birth and death, because it's activities meant for the pleasure of the Lord. So now, going back to our category of karma, okay, work done. So who is that work? So karma, the scriptures, all scriptures, in Vedic scriptures included, and especially in the Vedic scriptures, there's many, many recommended activities for living a peaceful, happy life. There's many activities that are there. There's sacrifices that one could do, and yajñas, fire sacrifices that one could do to, you know, attain a better position in this life and in the next life. So if we're talking about activities, so these activities, those activities are there recommended for people who are pious and inclined to follow religious practices, but the motivation is for my sense gratification, my pleasure, my good position, my this or that. And therefore, there's a reaction. And the reaction in this sense is a good reaction. It's a good reaction in the sense that one will get so many things, you know, maybe a nice house, maybe a good job, maybe a nice relationship and everything. But when one goes above that vision and looks at it unbiased, it's actually a bad reaction. Now, why can I say that it's a good reaction simultaneously in my next sentence say it's a bad reaction? It's a bad reaction because it keeps one entangled in the material world. And in that sense, it's a bad reaction, okay? So activities done, even pious activities done to please the Lord so that I can be happy to live here peacefully, it's not really for my ultimate benefit. Why? Because I don't belong here. Got news for you. You don't belong here. You're a spirit soul. We belong in the spiritual world. And whatever we do here in the material world to be happy, to be peaceful, to, you know, pay the bills, to do this, to that, you know, all the things that we have to do, does it work? Sorry. It doesn't work. Just like we're just sitting here, very peacefully sitting here on the floor, some of you. And some, you know, whatever, peacefully sitting here. And outside in the world, they're, not that I'm going to talk about politics or anything, don't worry. They're attacking these countries and stealing putting the president over here, and then the other guy's in war over there, and then this. And it's too cold when it gets down below 70 degrees in Florida. It's way too cold, you know? And et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So it doesn't really work to stay here and try to be a good person and be happy because it's too entangling. Can you think, those of you who are familiar with our Bhagavatam and Krishna book and Bhagavad Gita, can any of you think of some examples in the scriptures of people who followed the rules and regulations and acted piously and this and that and still got entangled and still got messed up and tripped up? Ruchira. King Nriga, that's who I was thinking of. Thanks, you read my mind. King Nriga, so King Nriga, his story is mentioned in Krishna book, Bhagavatam also, obviously. King Nriga was very pious. He gave in charity more articles than dust and stars in the sky. More articles. He gave in charity billions of things. He had so much pious credit. But one time there was a mix-up. He was giving away a group of cows. He gave it to that person over there, and then there was another person that was begging charity. So he had another group of cows, and he gave it to that other person over there. But unfortunately, this one cow in this group that was given to this guy wandered over here, as cows tend to do, and got into the second group and was given away twice. The one cow was given away twice to two different people who, you know, you would have said, it wasn't that he only gave the guy three cows. He gave him like thousands of cows, and he gave this guy thousands of cows. But somehow or other, it caused an argument, caused a trip up, and it caused a fault in King Nriga's charity that he gave something to somebody, and then he gave it to somebody else. And he was going to have to suffer. He did suffer the reaction for that. In other words, he was trying to follow the rules of karma perfectly, you know, religious life perfectly, and still it was entangling. Material life is entangling. Knowingly, it's entangling, and unknowingly. That's what trips you up. It's an unknowingly when you get tripped up unknowingly. You're driving your car, and you didn't hit anybody at all, but how many bugs did you hit, especially love bugs on love bug season, you know? They're spirit souls too, and they're, and whatever. You know, we get tripped up. So as much as we try to follow karma properly and even get relatively good reactions for our good deeds, they still keep us in the material world, which is going to be, sooner or later, we're going to be sorry about that. So that's one aspect of karma, okay? Another aspect of karma is these actions that are the karma, against religious principles. So if somebody doesn't have any particular religious affiliation or spiritual affiliation, and they do quote unquote, whatever they feel like, just do it. Click it off. Just do it. Whatever you feel like, you just do it. There's huge, 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 huge karmic reaction that's accumulated very quickly, even during one meal, if it's forbidden items in the meal, if it's animal flesh in the meal. One meal alone, what to speak of three meals a day for 40 years, for 80 years, for whatever, whatever, you know, plus snacks. Don't forget the snacks. You know what I mean? It's hugely, hugely karmically implicating. That's vikarma. And then this other category of work, because it's not that we're propagating don't do anything and just sit there and do inaction, because remember that tricky verse, one who sees action in inaction and inaction is a, that's a wise, because all of those things, if they're not done, if you're meditating on a circle or meditating on a white light or meditating on whatever, and you're sitting there and you're not doing anything and you're just breathing, even just breathing, there's little microbes that are coming in and out, so many things. There's reaction, or in other words, action for that, you know? There's action in that, in the sense that you get reaction. So karma, activities that don't create a reaction but don't give you a pious, materially pious reaction, but give you a transcendental, above the modes of nature, or a totally spiritual reaction. They're called akarma, actions that are done in Krishna consciousness, to please the Lord. Those activities don't give any, they don't cause bondage, and conversely, when they accumulate to the effect, to the point where that's all one is doing, they're the doorway to liberation, and not just liberation into the white light, but liberation into service of Krishna. Confirmed. Thank you. So, and they create a transcendental happiness, like vikarmic activities. Their work done with attachment, they're attached to the work, whatever it is, pious or impious, they're attached to it. They're against scriptural instructions, and the reaction is a bad reaction. Whereas for karma activities, they're done with attachment. In other words, they're done with, there's a pious motivation in mind, but there's a reaction. They're done according to the shastras, and they get a good reaction. But again, as we were saying, even that good reaction is ultimately an entangling. And therefore, we put it under the category of a bad reaction, because it entangles one in repeated birth and death. Now, when you think of karma now as a reaction, so you say, oh, you got a lot of bad karma, or I've got a lot of bad karma. So that karma, when we're talking about karma, karma isn't the reaction that we get from our karmic activities. It's not meant as a punishment. That's another misconception. It's not a punishment per se, but it's for our rectification. Look at it like that. It's for our rectification. Because why? We don't belong here. We're in an illusion. We're a spirit soul that has a relationship with Krishna, ultimately. And somehow or other, due to our association with the material world, we're thinking, I'm a lady. I'm you know, 100 years old. I'm this, I'm that. And you might be thinking, well, I know how to do a lot of carpentry and fix things. And you might be thinking something else. You know what I mean? That's who you are now, but that's not who you really are. You know? So we don't belong here at all. So when we get, sometimes, when we get impediments or karmic reactions, there's a lot you can say about karma. Okay, when we get impediments or obstacles in our path, we don't have to think of them as punishment per se, but they're rectification. You don't belong. Pinch? Oh, thank you. Krishna's pinching you for the things that we've done. He's pinching you. Thank you. He's to rectify us, to wake us up, or whatever, to try to, if we can be a little thoughtful, that's the, anyway. But again, Prabhupada covered that point too in his purport when he said, you have to associate with people who understand the point and hear it and explain it like that, because it's not an easy thing. And it's not the first conclusion that you're going to come to. The first conclusion that you're going to come to is that God is mean. He's unjust. I didn't do anything. I'm a good person. Why did my house burn down? You know what I mean? We're thinking that God's unjust. But that's a whole nother thing. But I guess this particular point I need to say that what we're getting in this life is not our total karmic dish. Our total karmic dish, I used to give an example, like if you would fill up this room with mustard seeds, okay, shut all the doors and the windows, and you poured in mustard seeds from that window there only, until the room was totally filled up with mustard seeds. That was like an example that we would give for the accumulated reactions, good and bad, that we've done for many lives, okay? But now I have a new example. Take the TOVP, the Temple of the Vedic Planetarium. Some of you must have seen it physically, right? Or at least you've seen pictures of it, at the very least, hopefully. Huge, biggest building in the world. Fill that one up with mustard seeds as the results of our karmic activities, okay? And then this life is just like a handful. You just, from that room full or temple room full of karmic reactions, you just take one handful. That's what we've got in this life. And sometimes the point that's criticized about karma, people who don't understand it and don't believe it or this and that, the thing about karma is you're not getting all your karma in this life, and you're not getting your karmic reaction immediately from different things that we've done. And so a person might say, but if I would get my karma immediately after doing something bad, I'd learn really quick, wouldn't I? Yeah. But that's just like, for example, I'm going to give you a bad example, okay? Just like a parent who has a wiggly child. Not you, don't worry. It has a wiggly child, and the parent wants them to sit still or be quiet or do this, do that. And the child is what? A child. And he's wiggly and he's talkative and this and that. And I told you it was a bad example. But if the parent slaps him right away, you know, sorry. he learns or he shouldn't do it. But that's not the real way you want him to learn, obviously, because you'd also be given a lot of slaps and also, but you know, traumatizing him also. But you want him to learn by understanding in certain circumstances you have to act like this, and in certain circumstances it's okay. Outside it's okay to yell and scream and play, and inside in different circumstances it's not okay. You want him to learn that voluntarily. And the same with karma. Krishna doesn't give us the reaction immediately for all the unauthorized things that we do, because he's not forcing us to love him. Love is not forced. Love is voluntary. Love is a conscious reciprocation and appreciation for the qualities and activities of the other person. That's love. So, but that's the thing that trips us, one of the things that can trip one up as far as karma and reaction. So therefore, when my house burns down and I think, why me? I'm a good person. I didn't do anything. Well, maybe I didn't do anything, quote unquote, in this life, but it's there. Maybe I set fire to somebody else's house and now I'm getting the reaction. But the time frame, the time span between the action committed and the reaction is, you know, it's undetermined for most of us, and it's hard to make the connection. But I wanted to go to, so those are just a few little tidbits. You could do a long thing on karma and reaction. But there's another one, another verse that's, like I said, is quoted in, it's from Padma Purana. It's quoted in the 9th chapter of Bhagavad Gita in the 2nd verse. Prabhupada talks about it. And it's also quoted and explained in Nectar of Devotion. In the Nectar of Devotion, which is, you know, Srila Prabhupada's summary of Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, in the very first chapter, when it talks about the characteristics of pure devotional service, it talks about this verse. Here's the verse. It's on the other side of the page. Okay. Aparabdha palam papam kutam bijam palon mukam kramenaiva pralityeta vishnu bhakti ratatamam. So, aparabdha palam papam. Let's see if I have the exact translation. Can you give me the exact? It's in the 9. It's in 9.2 for the exact translation. I don't know if that translation is there, but what is it? I'm going to explain what the verse is talking about. Anyway, it's there. All right. It explains that one does sinful activities. Start. What's the source of that? The source of it is avidya, ignorance. One commits sinful activities due to ignorance. And what is that ignorance? Ignorance of the result that one's going to get. Is it there? Yeah, thanks. Ignorance that of the results of what one's going to get. What happens is, when one is in ignorance, one has material desires sprout. Desires to be happy in this life. It's based on ignorance. It's based on thinking I'm my body. And then, so the sinful desire is called the bija, the seed of sinful desire. And then, when one has contemplated a sinful activity, or a desire, when one contemplates that desire, then eventually one's going to act on that desire. So it comes from a general sense of ignorance, avidya. Then there's a bija, a desire, a material desire sprouts, and then there's a sinful act, papam. So many times when you talk about karma, people talk about reaction, karma, a reaction. They're thinking that there's one reaction. You get good or bad suffering. But there's two reactions, and that's what this verse is talking about. Because kutam, in the second line there, kutam means there's a sinful desire. As a result of doing a sinful activity, one is going to get some physical or mental suffering. That's one reaction. But kuta means you get a second reaction, which, listen to this, kuta means you get the desire to do it again. Hare Krishna. And that's what we mean. It's entangling. It's inherent. Sinful activities are inherently entangling because it's not that you can do one sinful activity. You know what I mean? It's one thing wrong and just... Because in that activity, there's a reaction, one of the subtle reaction, kuta, is the desire to do it again. So let's take a general topic of illicit sex. You know, illicit sex is hard enough to wrap your head around and your body and your activities is around. But illicit sex, yes, there might be an appearance of some pleasure in that activity. And you might not get any quote unquote reaction immediately, you know, bad reaction immediately. But what's implanted in the mind is the desire to do it again. Entanglement, 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 entanglement. And that entanglement often leads, obviously, to lower state of consciousness, a lower state of consciousness, a lower state of consciousness, till the universal motto is, if it feels good, do it. That's where we're at in Kali Yuga society. If it feels good, do it. And then we wonder, then wonder, how come there's so much suffering? You know, why is there a drought? Why are there wildfires that destroy thousands of acres? Why is there war on every continent, on every street, on every building in these days? Why is this? Why is that? Why are the taxes going up? Why are people becoming more corrupt? It's because of that collective and that collective mentality of if it feels good, do it, that we're suffering. You know, in general suffering, and, you know, to whatever degree we have that, we suffer. So anyway, it just to try to understand these things, you know, to try to understand them in the scriptural light, it's not going to automatically make one, you know, toe the line exactly, you know, as you could say, toe the line perfectly, but it's meant to make you think. It's meant to make you think. It's meant to give you a little bit more, you and me. It's meant to give us a little bit more ammunition to when the mind wants to do X, Y, Z, and we know we shouldn't do either one of those three things. And it gives us a little more ammunition to not do it. So that's what I wanted to present tonight. You know, it's not, you know, practice is there, good association is necessary, this and that. So many things are there. It's not the one and only thing, but a little more. Everything that we can gather up, every piece of information, every piece of encouragement, every piece of, you know, information about proper living that we can gather will help us to navigate a very complicated material existence and hopefully turn it into a spiritual existence. So that's just a few things on that. Like I said, we could have gone on for way more details, but perhaps there's some comments or feedbacks or corrections or questions. It's not a good sign when there's no nothing, so sorry about that.
Any question, reflection?
Yeah, I didn't get the, you know, okay. Could you just read that? Yeah, for those, this is, he doesn't give us, you know, a specific translation, but here it is. For those who are engaged in devotional service of the Supreme Personality, Godhead, all sinful reactions, whether fructified in stalk or in the form of a seed, gradually vanish. Yeah, sorry, I don't have a good translation of it, but that's giving you the gist of it. Yes.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much. Hare Krishna. Nice class. Mataji, my question was on that actually, the first line of what Prabhupada writes there, right? So when someone takes the process of bhakti, devotional service, at what stage is the whole karma kind of starts burning down?
That's a really good question. And it's a really specific question. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, he gives one example. There's many different examples, but the one that came to mind immediately is, actually, before I give that example, I'm going to say, when one takes initiation, when one comes into the contact of Krishna consciousness and starts to understand the process and start to follow the process and starts to chant Hare Krishna, etc., etc., as they become more serious and then they take their vows of initiation, yes, I promise that I'll refrain from illicit sex, meat eating, intoxication, and I'll chant 16 rounds every day, et cetera, et cetera. At that time, the karmic stock that we've accumulated is burnt up in that fire of purification, in the fire yajna of initiation. Now, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in addition to that, he gives another example. It's just like if you had a bunch of, he uses the lotus leaves, and they were all stacked together. Let's say there were 50 lotus leaves stacked together. And you want to know, if you took a needle and pierced them, all of them, and you wanted to know the sequence of how the needle went through each lotus leaf, in one sense it really doesn't matter because it comes. Another example that is given, or another explanation, a more detailed explanation of our relief from karma, is that it happens at the time of initiation, when one takes initiation, because we've made a vow to stop doing those activities that will bring on more karma. But if we, the person, break those vows later on, then the reaction comes again. So we have to keep ourselves situated in a proper place. And now, prarabdha karma means the karma that we have in this body now. So it doesn't mean that all my prarabdha karma will be burnt up at the time of initiation, because then you wouldn't have a body to function in. So we have karmic activities that come through even as devotees, and sometimes you have accidents and squish your hand, and sometimes this happens and sometimes that happens. And that is considered just a small token, not what you really deserve. Just like going to that example of my house burned down. Well, actually, not only my house burnt, not only should my house have burnt down, but so my whole yard and my car and my this and my that, but only my house burnt down, because Krishna reduced the what I really deserved by my activities to just a small token. So we get things happen. We have, quote unquote, bad things happen. We have our difficulties, our challenges, even as devotees. It's not like life is without any difficulties, but it's much reduced, and it's called Krishna karma. It's Krishna personally using our karmic stock in a customized way to help us engage more fully in Krishna's service. So I hope that helps.
Thank you, Mata.
Hare Krishna.
Who's next?
Thank you, Nanda. That was amazing, but alarming.
What was that?
It's alarming, all the mustard seeds in the temples, all our karma. So my question is, do you have to burn up all that karma to go back to Godhead?
One has to become purified, right? Me, personally, burning up all my karma on my own, no. Then it's up to Krishna and Srila Prabhupada. You know what I mean? That's the point. That's the point that Krishna, again, karma is meant not as punishment. Karma is meant for rectification. So if when one comes to the point where they're attempting to rectify their life and they take their process and their initiation vows seriously, then everything, Rupa Goswami, he gives all the karmic reaction are reduced to this. It used to be an ocean, right, of karmic reactions, right? But then it gets reduced to the size of a hoof print that's filled up with water. And it's so easy to step over. Why? Because of the Krishna factor, not because of what the individual does or doesn't do, because of the Krishna factor, the devotional service. That's why devotional service, you know, if you wanted to talk about the different yogic processes, you know, there's Bhagavad Gita gives a yoga ladder of different types of yoga. He tells Arjuna, go to the forest and sit in a secluded place, and the seat shouldn't be too high, and it shouldn't be too low, and you have to stare at the tip of your nose. You have to be completely free of sex desire and devoid of this and devoid of that. And Arjuna says, sorry, that's way too hard. I can't even do that. And Arjuna, he already had practiced archery so intensely that he had wind weapons. He had arrows that could create wind weapons. He had arrows that could create rain weapons. That wasn't easy to do either, but he could do that. And he said controlling the wind, controlling the mind like that through that process of Astanga Yoga is more difficult to control. It's more difficult to achieve than trying to control the wind. So comparing, and then the result of Astanga Yoga is liberation, which just means freedom from material miseries. Compared to the endeavor that we make in chanting Hare Krishna and taking prasadam and seeing the deities and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and the result, and that process is so joyful, it's everlastingly and joyfully performed, and the result is eternal life serving Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The comparison of the results of the different yogic processes, the endeavor it takes to get there and the results that they get from those yogic process and the endeavor that it takes to do bhakti and the results that we get from bhakti, they're incomparable. Hare Krishna, that was another subject that could you talk about for years. Okay, and other, are we finished?
Any other questions?
Chaitanya Charanamrita, do you have a question or?
Hare Krishna Mataji.
Yes, Hare Krishna Mata.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Pranam. Very nice class. I have a question like, even in devotee's life, right? We have to do certain things like to go to work and
yes.
feed
yes.
the family and
yes.
other things. And at the same time, we are practicing devotional service.
Yes.
So there is a karma and there is akarma. Right?
There practicing, could be.
Practicing devotional service is akarma, like making garlands for deities, dressing them. These are all akarma. And then there is a action also, like going to work and all those things. So how these both things will give what type
it's
of
It's a very results? Good question. Thank you for thinking of it. It's a very good question because it doesn't have to be karmic. Your work doesn't have to be karmic. Because when one goes to work, what are the results of the work? Well, you might get some influence, you might get some knowledge, skills, you might get a paycheck, hopefully. You know what I mean? So you use those things in Krishna's service, and then your work is not karma.
But 100% I cannot use.
100% you don't have to use. It would be good if you did, sorry. 100% you should do, but it's okay. Whatever you can do is fine, you know? So
to the extent that I use for Krishna service for that much, this thing I will not get karmic reaction.
To be perfectly honest with you, Mata, I don't know if it goes along exactly on that line. Obviously, the more that a person is endowed with, say, some financial ability to help, and the more they can, that's good. But the point is that Krishna's very kind, and he sees that the devotee's trying to use their, in work, maybe take in some prasadam, or, you know, have a picture of Krishna on your desk, if that's a situation, you know what I mean? Just something there like that is always to your eternal credit. Specifically, do you want to get into specifics, Pran Govinda? Yeah, thanks. He'll carry what you lay. He'll preserve what you have. He'll carry what you left. Thank you. Thanks for that. Yeah.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Okay. Oh, did he go? Okay. Ruchira, you have something?
I was just going to say that when we do actions, we think of Krishna as we do.
Uh-huh.
Even if it's not Krishna conscious, so-called.
Yeah.
But still we get, Krishna accepts that.
Yes.
You're doing this for me.
Yes, we're doing it for it. So we can, you know, and that's why for those of us or those of you who have to, that do hold jobs, et cetera, that's why the process of sadhana is really, really, really important in order to keep your mind focused on your real spiritual goals. So not always easy, but recommended before work, getting up early, chanting some, focusing your mind on spiritual activities, and then going about and doing your work. It's much more conducive for you or anyone to maintain that spiritual consciousness and dedicate their life like that. So that's important too. Thanks, Ruchira. That's a good point. And did I interrupt you? Okay. So I think we're finished, are we? Okay. Thank you for your attentions, and we hope that as a result of that, that your new year is even happier than before. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.